This is the Context Podcast. Context Magazine is a publication of the American Sociological Association.
In this episode, we talked to Zaide Dinzi Flores of Rutgers University, author of the piece Gated Communities for the Rich and the Poor, which is in the fall issue of Context Magazine. Her research focuses on understanding how urban space mediates community life and social inequality. She's also the author of the book Locked In, Locked Out, Gated Communities of the Rich and Poor in a Puerto Rican City. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. Your piece is called Gated Communities for the Rich and the Poor, and it's in the fall 2013 issue of Context Magazine and is also available online at context.org. And you open up your article with the story of visiting a man named Ramiro. So why don't you describe to our listeners the type of community he lives in, where you went to go visit him?
So the community is called Extensión Alhambra, and it's a subdivision which in Puerto Rico, the standard name is Urbanización. And it's a subdivision of about 50 single-family homes. And the homes are typical of what has become the ideal model of suburban housing. So there are single family homes with front and backyards that mainly cater to middle and upper class people or working people who aspire to upward mobility. The homes are cement, modern one-level houses. They were built in mass, following a few standard models, but over time people have renovated them, made additions, so they look different now, and they have, they're colorful. And this community originally was built with open access. If you look from above at the community, it's in a square shape, and there's a road that loops around and ends in the center of the square in a cul-de-sac. So The design itself was looking in, but it was built with open access. And then in 1993, the neighbors decided to get together and build a gate to protect their community because of the high crime incidence in the island.
It's an interesting contrast because right after you introduce this community in your piece, you talk about a different form of gated community, which is near Ramiro's neighborhood. So what is that space like, and kind of set up how different they are for our listeners?
Yeah, so the other community I discuss is Dr. Pila, which is not too far away, about maybe a 7-minute walk from Extensión Alhambra. And it also is a gated community, but this community is a public housing community, and it's about 1,000, under 1,000 units of multiple dwelling buildings. So there are 58 buildings that are in what we call a super block or a park type of distribution. They are low-rise buildings, so about 2 to 4 story buildings, and they are mainly, the people there are mainly low-income, working-class people, mainly female-headed households, that rely on public benefits, and there are some services. There's a community center, a park, basketball courts, volleyball courts, and the community was also built open in the 1950s. It's the largest public housing site in this city, and it was built open, but in 1992, there was a policy called Operation Centurion, or popularly Mano Dura contra el Crimen, which is strong arm against crime, which made it a gated community. But this time it wasn't the neighbors who decided to gate it. It was actually the government who decided to bring in a police force and to address, again, as a reaction to the crime incidents in the island, to bring in a police force to occupy the community.
Two very different versions of gated communities in one space. One thing that struck me as a reader was the way you write about spatial segregation and the sort of geographic segregation as being more permanent than other forms of separation between people. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
The built environment is lasting, is durable, and once things are built, it takes a lot of energy and effort to take them down. So people in these communities have to contend with the physical, right? They have to go around, go above, tear it down in order to contend with the physical. And that takes a lot of energy. So the physical, spatial elements of our environment really have a very strong, forceful presence in our lives. So, for example, in one of the communities in Dr. Pila, the public housing gated community, residents had to undergo went through a lot of trouble to get through and around the gates, to the point where some residents resorted to tearing down the gates because they would have to walk long distances to get through and around the gates to enter and exit the community. So, you know, in the same way that doors prevent movement when they're closed and when they're open, they allow movement, these gates and these physical aspects of the community really keep communities apart or promote their togetherness. In this case, it's largely the former.
From a researcher standpoint, it's interesting to think about, you know, the point of having gates, like you said, is to keep some people out and some people in. So as a sociologist or social researcher, how did you gain access to both of these communities to write your piece?
I had to use my training in research to really figure out a way inside. And this is something that researchers, right, like we train to do, but often the conditions on the ground are very different than what we're taught to do. So my plan was to walk in. That was my plan.
Yeah.
But it actually turned out to be rather different. I contacted, ironically, who I contacted was the private management company for the public housing development, and they organized a meeting with the resident councils in the public housing communities. And the resident councils of the community then became my intermediary in the community to contact people, to be there. And while I was doing that, the research, there was a drug war going on in the community.
Okay.
And so there was, it was very limited. So the things some of the things I had planned to do, I was unable to do because of that situation. In the private communities, I had to use a different strategy.
Yeah.
I am from this city. I did the study, and I had to find people, one person who I knew, who would put me in contact with others, and then I snowballed. I kind of found other people as I went along.
Mm-hmm. And this is a kind of unique methodological approach to describe a physical space to kind of make this point. And so, so how does studying a geographic space help us understand social conditions in a way that's different than, you know, survey data or looking at numbers or something like that?
My perspective is that everything can help you understand a situation or a place better. So numbers have their place, survey data have their place, but also observation and participant observation and interviews have their place. And I actually envision this project as a mixed methods project and did some analysis in the communities, for example, for crime that was more of the quantitative type. Mm-hmm. But once I got there to Dr. Pila, my idea was, I'll do some surveying and I'll do some interviewing. Mm-hmm. The surveying mm-hmm. was completely off limits because of the situation going on at least in the public housing community. So I quickly just expanded the interview side of it. What I think is important is that I was able to see how people interface with each other and with the physical built environment. And that's something that people can tell you about, but it's different when you actually see it, right, in motion. And there's a visual quality, right, to the understanding how people interact with their built environment. And because of this, I mean, it's truly inductive work. It's built from the ground up. I was able to learn things that were totally unexpected. So if I had done a survey, I would have included things of, you know, do you feel safe? And people would tell me yes or no. Is there more crime? Yes or no. Is there less crime? Yes, no. But when I went in the field and interviewed people, for example, I asked them about crime and safety, and I got this story. And the stories led me to understand that some of the things that people were seeking protection from were not necessarily traditional, you know, hardcore crime, but things yeah. like people defending their property or wanting their fruit not to be taken from their trees. And these are some of the things that really come out from doing work that's inductive, that's on the ground, that's with people, talking to people. It leads you in unexpected directions, and I think that's important to represent the actual situation of a social space.
Right. And, you know, part of doing work like that on the field is that you yourself are interacting with the people that you're learning from. And so what was the reception from the residents? Did they think it was odd that you were coming in to study their communities, or were they pretty open to it?
Yes, I did. In my larger work, I speak to kind of a lot to the interaction between me and the people, the informants in the study. And they were different. They were vastly different between the public housing and the private housing. Mm-hmm. In the public housing, because of how I look, I'm a Black woman, and I was read as such. And they saw me, and they asked me, "Oh, are you from here? You know, are you coming back to do some research?" And also there was suspicion, maybe I was an informant, a police informant, but generally it led to some kind of comfort between us. And in the private communities, it was a little bit different. In some ways, my qualifications seemed to be in contradiction to the way I looked. Yeah, mm-hmm. that I looked young, that I was Black, and so it led to a lot of questioning of me, of my, to see if it was true, if everything was true, if I was really a researcher. And I think that's another aspect of the research, really understanding how our individual kind of how people perceive us and how that informs you know, the people's everyday,
right?
I mean, in itself, it was illustrative of the kind of dynamics that I'm talking about, which is about how people are perceived and race and class separation and segregation and how that really becomes real.
Mm-hmm. And so community, of course, is a key theme of your article. You write in the piece that gates and guards have typically been ways for privileged communities to defend themselves, which, you know, with the idea that it'll make people feel safer, but you kind of make the point that these separations actually produce more fear. So how does that work? How did you see that play out?
Right. So I think that the gates are a reflection of the fear, and it reinforces the fear. Mm-hmm. It kind of solidifies and cements that fear and says, you know, this is how we live, and it marks places as dangerous or safe. And so it establishes these separations, even as it's meant to address the fear. And that's ironic, right, that it would do that. And, I mean, I suggest that something that the gates foreclose is that safety is really about contact. Safety is about knowing your neighbors, right? But the gates foreclose that and suggest that safety is about individual, about separation, about, you know, keeping yourself in or somebody else out. So it really feeds off the fear. And in Puerto Rico, for example, it has led to a really exponential rise in gates, to the point where there are hardly any residential spaces without gates.
Mm-hmm. So it's become this very ubiquitous part of the landscape, kind of taken for granted part of life.
Absolutely. It's ubiquitous, and it really fragments communities. It really makes communities even more and more homogeneous, so that now people of a certain class only interact with people of that class, of that race. It really leads to, it breaks that civic pact between people that are different, and that's what the city, right, traditionally is supposed to do, bring people that are different together, where it really violates that.
Right. So if our readers, of course, can get your piece at context.org or in the print version of the fall 2013 issue of the magazine, is there other places where people who are interested in this can find your work? Do you have a book published on this?
It's published in a book. Title is Locked In, Locked Out, Gated Communities in a Puerto Rican City by University of Pennsylvania Press.
Great. Well, those are all the questions I have. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk through your article a little bit with us today.
Thank you so much.